Last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race became the most expensive in U.S. history. Spending topped $144 million as the ideological balance of the court was at stake. Judge Susan Crawford won, maintaining the court's liberal majority. In about 2 weeks, Wisconsinites will again be at the ballot box for Supreme Court candidate to replace conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, who's not seeking re-election. But this spring election season is a lot quieter, with fundraising totals so far that pale in comparison to last year. Here's how Judge Chris Taylor, the liberal candidate in the race, and Judge Maria Lazar, her conservative opponent, have positioned themselves in recent ads.
Chris Taylor. She spent her career fighting for our families, defending abortion rights, working with law enforcement to stop domestic violence.
Judge Maria Lazar, a constitutional conservative who follows the law. No agendas, simply justice.
Why are we seeing less national attention and spending on this election, and how could it affect voter turnout and the results? For that, we turn to Anthony Chergosky, Associate Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. He talked last week with Kate Archer Kent.
No record-breaking spending in this Supreme Court race. No deluge of ads that we're seeing. Candidates have raised a total of $4.2 million. The next deadline for campaign finance reports is March 30th. What is causing this dramatic drop in fundraising and spending on this spring Supreme Court election?
I think a few reasons. First, there's just not as much at stake in this upcoming state Supreme Court election. If we think back to the race that was held in 2025, majority control of the state Supreme Court was on the line. This time around, what is at stake is whether it will remain a 4-3 liberal majority or expand to a 5-2 liberal majority. So it actually doesn't flip ideological control. And so I think that is playing a big role in maybe making this more of a low-key contest. And then we've got less outside money entering the picture. And we also do not have the Elon Musk factor this time around. So whether it's the stakes of the election, the lack of the larger than life personality that is Elon Musk, and maybe a little less outside money this time around, a bit more of a low key affair.
And to put a finer point there, according to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and this just in, independent expenditures, they stand at $638,000, under 3% of last year's total. So, you know, why do you think the outside interest groups and, you know, wealthy people outside of Wisconsin like Elon Musk are much less engaged in this race? Does it go back to the ideological balance of the court?
I definitely think that's a big part of it. But when we also think back to April of 2025, we were really the only game in town in terms of elections that were happening at that point in time. Now, the political world is so focused on those November midterm elections. I mean, heck, there's so much talk already about the race for governor in Wisconsin and the race for state legislative majorities and the competitive U.S. House of Representatives races we have here in the 3rd Congressional District. So the political world is focused on the upcoming November elections, and the April elections here are almost becoming a bit of an afterthought. And so, Kate, when we think about donors, they are being pulled in multiple different directions. I mean, their money, any money that they spend in the April elections to influence the state Supreme Court election is a dollar that might not be able to go towards the November election and the race for governor or state legislature or Congress.
Ah, conserve those coffers. So which political party tends to benefit when we see lower voter turnout, lower engagement in the spring election?
We have seen this completely flip in the Trump era. Pre-Donald Trump and his emergence as a political figure, Republicans had a strong advantage in low voter turnout elections. That is to say, Republican voters were the more reliable in turning out for every election, even those low turnout elections, such as April elections. But as Donald Trump emerged on the political scene, we saw a fundamental shift in the coalitions of the two political parties, where college-educated voters who had once aligned with the Republican Party began gravitating towards the Democratic Party. Now, that matters because education level is one of, if not the most significant predictor of if someone votes. In other words, the higher someone's education level, the higher their probability of voting. So as those college-educated voters have shifted to the Democratic Party, it means that Republicans have a bit of a structural disadvantage in elections such as these April races. So for Judge Maria Lazar, running as the conservative candidate, she is already at a bit of a disadvantage when it comes to the likelihood that her coalition is actually going to turn out because of that drift of college-educated voters into the Democratic Party camp.
That's interesting. So liberal candidate Judge Chris Taylor is outraising Judge Maria Lazar. Is Lazar considered by the state GOP to not be as competitive in this race?
I think there are concerns about Lazar's competitiveness, particularly how in recent state Supreme Court elections, the conservative candidate has lost by a lot. Whether it was Susan Crawford against Brad Schimmel or Janet Protasiewicz against Dan Kelly, the Liberals won by decisive margins. And the question is if Lazar can find some way to improve over the performances of Dan Kelly and Brad Schimmel. And right now, we are not seeing the type of donor support for Lazar that would suggest that donors feel positive about her chances of maybe doing better than some of those previous conservative candidates have done. It's important to note, Kate, that if the political parties really want to make significant investments in this race, they absolutely can. One of the most important aspects of Wisconsin campaign finance law is that the political parties can make unlimited transfers. They can transfer any amount of money to candidates. So it's going to be worth watching as we get into the final weeks of this campaign if either Supreme Court candidate gets an infusion of cash from their respective political party.
And that's what I'm curious about. I mean, we're inching closer to April. Is there a chance that we might see a last-minute flood of donations on either side?
I have no doubt that each side is somewhat paranoid about the other side getting a last-minute infusion of cash, because in a fairly quiet race and a low turnout environment, a wave of money at the 11th hour could really shake things up. So I can imagine that the two sides are watching the other side closely and trying to figure out how much money might be coming into the race and who might be providing those dollars. But as of now, it seems a little unsettlingly quiet when it comes to the donor activity and when it comes to the overall state of this campaign.
So looking ahead, conservative Chief Justice Annette Ziegler announced this month that she will not be seeking re-election at the end of her term next year. How could the results of this year's election impact what might happen in the future with her seat on the bench up for grabs?
We have seen an astonishing turnaround for the liberal wing of the state Supreme Court, going from minority status to now majority status and on the verge of a 5-2 majority if Chris Taylor wins in the current election cycle. Then, if the liberals are able to add another seat by winning the seat vacated by retiring Justice Annette Ziegler, then they're at a 6-1 majority. And in that scenario, the entire conservative wing would be Brian Hagedorn. Mm-hmm. So this has been a remarkable turnaround from a liberal wing that had really struggled to gain its footing and now is on the verge of not just majority control, but firm, long-term majority control of the state Supreme Court.
Anthony, appreciate your analysis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anthony Chergosky is an associate professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. Now, the spring nonpartisan election is not awash with outside spending from political donors, but the head of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is concerned about dark money or contributions from political groups that are not legally obligated to disclose donors. Deborah Cronmiller is executive director of the League. Deborah, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That large amount of money poured into last year's Supreme Court election race, I'm wondering, is that a good thing for a voting rights group like the League of Women Voters to have that much attention on a race? What do you make of that?
Well, I would love to say I would have loved $143 million to come to the league to help get out the vote. But that's not how that happened. What we saw was $143 million buying a lot of very negative advertising. Yes, it did raise the awareness that there was an election. And yes, it might have motivated certain people to go out and vote. But the reality is, so much of the money was dark money. We didn't know where it was coming from, who was paying for those ads, what their motivation was to pay for those ads. And at the end of the day, we got an outcome, of course, and, you know, justice was elected. But from a standing up for voters' rights, as the League of Women Voters does, our organization would much rather have people understand the importance of civic engagement, the importance of participating in our democratic process, and not be motivated by some negative television ad that is probably very irrelevant when it comes to what a Supreme Court justice actually does in executing their job.
So without this deluge of money coming into Wisconsin's spring election, how is the league working to increase voter turnout and raise awareness?
Sure. The league does what it has been doing for our whole history. We try very hard to help people understand that this democratic republic that we have is of the people. And the only way to maintain our democracy is for the people to be engaged in the democracy, to be the democracy. You know, the people have the power, not the people in power. And, you know, we try to make that point over and over in different ways. We do use media advertising. We use social media. We conduct many forums throughout the state. And that's a really important part of what a spring nonpartisan election cycle is for Wisconsin. You know, we separate our partisan races from our nonpartisan races so people can really get down in the dirt with why we have elections in the spring that are the elections that impact our life on a day-to-day basis. It's the municipal elections. It's our school board elections. It's the elections for county officials. And these are the elected officials that make the decisions that impact our lives every single day. And that's the message that the league is trying to bring to every voter in Wisconsin. That's why you should come out and vote in the spring elections.
A spring nonpartisan election, someone might say, you know, I've seen these ads. They don't feel nonpartisan in terms of the Supreme Court. Are there some misunderstandings of state Supreme Court elections that you'd like to clear up?
Well, I think it's very clear that some of these dark money sources of advertising are muddying the waters. Last year, for instance, you would have been hard-pressed to say we were in a nonpartisan Supreme Court justice race. There was not a person in Wisconsin who couldn't identify who the liberal and who the conservative was in that particular race. And even this year, those name badges are still being associated with our candidates, despite the fact that both of them are running as nonpartisan candidates. Both of them will come to fulfill their responsibilities, if elected, as an impartial justice.
Deborah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Deborah Kronmiller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, talking with Kate Archer Kent. Earlier, we heard from UW La Crosse political scientist Anthony Chergosky looking at the drop in fundraising and spending in the Supreme Court race ahead of the spring election and how it all compares to last year's record-setting campaign for an open seat on the court. Election day is April 7th.